You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today on The Cool Against, we are talking about MLS and some of the ridiculous moves in the offseason already. Alex Ring going to Austin FC. Kyle Beckerman retiring. Where are the Dreads going to go? yes, and a lot more going on around the league.
That's right. Plus, we're talking about CCL. We review all the matches that have happened. Plus, we record a segment after our watch-along. So stay tuned to see if our predictions are right or way off. That and more today on The Cooligans!
What's up, guys? Landon Donovan here, and I got to kick it with The Cooligans today. Keep following, keep listening, keep watching. See you guys soon.
Yeah, baby! Come on.
I feel like I'm clapping for like the pigeons, you know, to let people know the cops is
That's
coming.
That's right. you're on a rooftop somewhere in the Bronx.
What's good, everybody? Yeah, this is a special holiday edition. Audio just podcast exclusive. We are we're off from Fubo TV for the holidays,
but we ain't off from being in years.
Okay, that's right.
Okay.
Okay, we're checking in to those ears. All right,
what's good in here?
Yo, I like what you've done with the place.
Mad roomy, and that might not be a compliment. Go see a doctor.
Hello everybody, welcome to another episode of The Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
That's right, I'm Alexis Guerreros.
All right, and we are your favorite stand-up comedians. I host the funniest soccer podcast that has ever existed.
It's also the gulliest that has ever existed.
Okay, yeah, I think we're getting into like WWE promo territory, you know what I mean? Like the top of every show. Like,
I'm glad I'm wearing this leotard. Now I know you can't see it though.
You know what, brother? There is no other soccer podcast in the city, in the state, in the world.
Instead of ooh yeah, baby.
Okay, that's how we got to start every show, with that kind of energy.
Can you smell that fart I just laid? Like, I don't know too much about wrestling.
Crowd is. I can't believe it.
He said, we can. All of you? Hey.
Okay. So look, we're excited about today's show because we normally have a guest here and there. Well, now it's just us, everybody.
We ain't got no guests. We don't need no guests.
Okay. Right. Because the farts are too smelly for guests today.
Yeah, absolutely. I got to be honest. I'm tired of all these other people coming in and just stealing our chemistry. You know what I mean? Interrupting our flow. You get what I'm saying?
But please, if you would like to do the show and you are, a soccer celeb, please come on the show.
Right. In fact, if anyone listening knows anyone in the Premier League at all, please tell them. I'm only kidding. We want them on the show.
But no, we have there's a lot to discuss. A lot's been going on just in the last week since we were on air. I just saw all off season, the MLS off season, CONCACAF Champions League with their madness. And
I love how MLS off season is like, don't go on vacation just yet, because we have just a little bit of mayhem.
Yeah, we say this every year. I remember in 2015 we started the podcast a little bit before MLS playoffs, maybe like 2 months prior, and then we had that feeling like, what are we going to talk about during the off season?
Start too early? Maybe we should have waited till the new season.
There's not going to be anything to discuss. Boy, were we wrong. Yeah.
We were begging for some time off. We're like, please.
We're like, Major League Soccer, you need to slow down. This is the off season, okay?
Y'all need to chill.
But no, we're going to talk about a bunch of wild moves already, some trades, some signings. We're also going to talk about CCL, right? And we're just to break it down, we're taping this before the CCL final. And we're going to talk about the game after the game happens. So stick around to the end of this podcast so you can hear us talk about who won between Tigres or LAFC.
The last time we did that was when the U.S. men's national team lost to Trinidad and Tobago. Yeah.
Tobago.
They lost to Match.com in Trivago. I mean, it was a hell of a game.
Yes. So that was hopefully, you know, it works out a little bit better for the American side in this situation.
This time it's not going to be me not blinking the entire ride back from the Bronx to record an episode.
So make sure stick around to the end of the podcast and you'll hear us talking about how that game went. But in the meantime, for now, let's start with CCL. Should we start with CCL? Should we start with Alex Ring? What do you think?
Let's start with Alex Ring. Let's get some of the MLS stuff out of the way.
Okay.
Because Alex Ring gets sold to Austin FC, transferred to Austin FC for $7 billion in game. Okay. Right? That's if he hits all the performance.
Funny money.
yeah. Who cares?
But no, okay. So look, let's obviously we're both NYCFC season ticket holders, right? We're obviously we're fans of the league and we want all your teams to do well as long as it's not against NYCFC. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, which I think is fair. I think it's almost altruistic of us, really.
That's as objective as we can get, right? But this, and I haven't talked to Alexis about this, but this move really hurt me personally. This really did feel like, whoa, what direction is the team going in? What is this move about? Because Alex Ring, has been with the team, what, 3 years, 4 years?
Isn't it?
7 years already. Well, I mean, 2020 is definitely counts about like four to 5 years.
It feels like it. You know, let's see. Last season, the season before that in Orlando, the three games in Costa Rica, which was the season before that.
Exactly. We all remember. But no. So Alex Ring going to Austin FC, obviously reuniting with
Claudia
Reyna, who was the GM for NYCFC and is now at Austin FC.
And who went? And got his mans.
Yes, and he was the one who brought him into NYCFC. Alex Ring is a good player. Any Austin FC fans listening to this, I mean, that's all we can really say. Not only is he a good player, he is a leader. The dude gives 200%. He's a defensive mid who can score, who has a banger of he's like Fernandinho.
He can play the wing.
He's like Fernandinho for Manchester City. He's similar to Fabinho. He's a lot of Inyo, Ringinho, whatever. Yeah.
Well, you know, all these people are doing the elf on a shelf, and they got like the this on the that.
Yeah.
Ronnie Dyla did it first by putting Ring on a wing. You know what I mean?
Okay.
No one expected it. You know what I mean? But the homie did it.
Look at these bars from Alexis, bro. Off the dome, okay?
Son, somebody drop a goddamn explosion from Master Flex next time. I'll drop one of them joints.
That's called motherfucking bars.
Right? Oh, shit. Somebody said that outside when I said it.
Let's go. So
we didn't even talk about Fun Flex getting lipo on Instagram.
He is the Khloe Kardashian of hip hop.
Which Khloe's upset because she's like, wait, I was the Khloe of hip hop.
Funkmaster Flex got lipo, but obviously he's putting it, he's doing an IG story. Basically vlogging his lipo. And so you know it's free.
Oh, 100%.
For free lipo. Would you take free lipo for just a couple IG stories?
It's basically, and look, if you want to get lipo, get lipo. But in the world that Funmaster Flex resides in, this has to be considered an embarrassing event, no?
You can't.
Or at least a slightly, not shameful, but like it took a big step for him to do this. Would you do something like that you were maybe afraid to do
I mean, if I got lipo, it would be a real problem. You would know. I mean, there's a mental condition that I clearly have.
I'd be worried for you and the 4.5 seconds that you'd be in surgery.
Wait, so Christian, you're telling me you want to go to a size 13 waist? Why? You're already out of 15.
Buddy, your jean size is snatched, okay? I don't think you need anything else.
Oh, my goodness. We were talking about Alex Ring. What?
Alex Ring. So, he's obviously a stalwart for NYCFC. Gets old. I gotta tell you, I'm not upset with this move at all.
Yeah. So it's looking like, well, it's 1.25 million in GAM if he hits all the performance. Well,
Claudio
incentives.
Keeps saying 750.
Yeah.
But I think there's already some of those incentives are like already hit. Like, they get like another $200,000 if he $200,000 in allocation money just for like playing a game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. If he doesn't, you get your name right. Talking about his experience.
If he gets liposuction, he gets like $300,000 unless he's caking.
A lot of NYCFC fans were really upset. I think this is
why are they upset? Because it's the captain. That's why they're upset.
It is the captain.
He's a 30-year-old defensive midfielder. When we have a 19-year-old defensive midfielder. Which is just as good. Get 1.25 million in AM.
As far as the goal production, no one at that position is going to bring that right now. As of what, unless Cacha Acevedo improves, James Sands all of a sudden starts banging in free kicks like Kevin De Bruyne.
Which he might. Or we don't know what's happening there. But really, I don't care if he does or doesn't because that money's going to be spent on goals.
Okay.
Either that or a replacement for Maxi Morales, who's what, 75 years old, 78?
he's probably like 2 years older than Ring. He's a young dude for the most part.
His knees are a lot older, though.
I think this is it, this is an interesting time, and I think a pivotal time for what NYCFC's like squad is going to look like and what they want their identity to be. It's obviously a young team, very much still. But I think it's an interesting time because this is the first time NYCFC fans were like genuinely upset at a roster decision that, you know, this is going to happen all the time where like sometimes players leave too early or sometimes they're there too late or they're too long. But this one felt like he was such a defining piece of what NYCFC looked like, especially the last 3 years, that it seemed like it was too soon. We won't know until, whatever the replacements are, maybe a DP striker that's incredible. I mean, everybody kind of forgets about this, but I think NYCFC will look a little bit different in the future.
Well, of course, yeah, they got rid of their captain. Of course they're going to look different.
Well, I mean, look different in the sense of like the way that their style of play.
So let me ask you, Rodney Dyla's season on a scale of 1 to 10, what would you give him?
The season?
Got in the playoffs.
Got in the playoffs. Fifth place? Fifth place.
We lost the first two matches of the season. It was a rough start. Played pretty well in Orlando.
I'm going to say a six out of 10.
I would say seven and a half. Because I expected less during that gap where there were no games. I'm like, this is going to be rough if we start again. I'm like, everybody don't start over. You know, like, we don't need to do this MLS back. If a six is a passing grade for you?
Yeah.
Okay. So then doesn't he deserve, if you're going to give him a passing grade, does he not deserve to get his own players in and to build his own system? Clearly, the players we had didn't perfectly fit the system
he's
wanted,
the coach.
Right?
I'm not saying. No.
But
I mean,
But you could say like, I'd rather have Ring than the coach if the coach didn't do well.
Sure.
Right. So wouldn't you say that he deserves, based on the performance of the team, which clearly wasn't set up the way he would want to play? Wouldn't you say that he deserves the right to start bringing in his own players? The only way to do that in this league is to get rid of chips when they're hot. You gotta move your higher value pieces. And it's tough. Look, fans are upset, but this ain't England. You can't keep a great player for long. The longer you keep a player, the too much of your cap is going to be taken by them. Then you have to maybe get rid of a DP for that. there's a ample opportunity to bring in big names in the offseason. And now that we have all this allocation money, we have the ability to bring in a big name that isn't at the level of like DP, which we've seen those former Tam and Gam guys. I don't know what they're called now. Ams, you know, those guys are huge value. Those are the ones that win you the fucking the supporter shield or the championship. It's those high value mid-level guys as opposed to the big names, which come in and have too much pressure.
I wouldn't say there's a definitive way to do it. I mean, you can say, look at Philadelphia Union. They did not, you know, win the supporter shield with a lot of DPs or TAM players. They they have a couple, but they really the homegrown players, the McKenzie, Brendan Aronson, those are the guys that I would say that had a larger role than any TAM player or DP, in my opinion. But there was some article I read I forgot who. But kind of like just picking that identity, whether it's like deciding if you're going to go the homegrown route, if you're going to go DP route, if you're going to go TAM route, and sticking to that rather than trying all of them at once. And I think at this point, NYCFC is the TAM route, right? That's their main focus. I mean, obviously, year one and year two, that wasn't the case because it was all absolute superstars. But now, as things are settling, that seems to be the way that they want to go.
Right. And look, when I see this move, here's what I think to myself. Clearly, Ronnie now has money to go out and find players that fit his system. Clearly, he's got enough opportunity to bring in some big names if the club wants to do that. Right. And now, all of a sudden, we're going to start to see what this system can be. Right. If you're Ronnie Dyla, if you're a fan of NYCFC. The problem is that fans are looking at, oh, you got rid of your captain. That means you don't want to win right away. Because if you wanted to win right away, you would keep one of your best players, right? Because, oh, then we have a better chance of winning next year. I think it's a bad way to look at it. I say I don't get too emotionally attached to players, even though I really like Alex Ring and I love the way he played and I love his style. At the end of the day, he was too valuable for us to keep. Next year, he's not 1 million. You know what I mean?
Sure.
He's 31 years old.
It's good business. I'm not taking anything away from that. But
it's good business. You know what I mean?
We'll see. And we got to, you know, we met Alex Ring a couple times. And we also, we made cocktails with him over Zoom.
Buddy, we made content.
Yes, which is look in the year of the last like 2-3 years, the word content is the most valuable resource in the new like gig economy. You know what I mean? Like there's nothing.
It's
more...
also the heaviest. Like we got to do how much content? God damn!
There's nothing more important than content nowadays. Okay,
we need to fulfill what people are looking at. Or the expectation of what they want to look at while they're pooping. That's life now.
Look, it's what I always dreamed, you know?
Did you see Roy Wood Jr. put my toddler, does anyone else's toddler grab a toy before going in the bathroom to do number two? He's like, how long do you expect to be in there, champ? He brought a toy. And I just thought to myself, oh, what a joy not having to bring your phone in there with you, you know? Remember the days?
Having to? I mean, I don't know.
Don't you feel like you have an obligation to, like, you're wasting time if you're not doing something on your phone there?
Yeah, it's almost like you're not. Pooping is no time, no excuse to not be productive, you know?
Right, exactly what I'm talking about. Do you remember the last time you pooped without a phone?
I mean, I do it occasionally. To be honest.
What are you, a monster?
From time to time, I'll just go in there with my own thoughts and just, cry mostly.
Okay. That's what I expect. Yeah. You don't want your phone's not waterproof. You don't want to get that on the phone.
Okay. Let's move on. Next thing I wanted to discuss.
We talked about crying. Too vulnerable. Next.
Next thing I want to talk, Kyle Beckerman retiring from RSL. Obviously, he played for a bunch of clubs in MLS, but one.
What year did he start? Because he's been in it for a long ass time.
Oh, that's a good question. Let's see.
Looking it up.
Kyle Beckerman. Obviously, he played for a couple clubs, right? He played at.
He's 38.
So, oh, man. Okay.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, yeah.
You good. Like,
started with the Fusion
and in 2000.
In 2000, and then went to the Colorado Rapids did he win an MLS Cup with the Rapids?
No, he won it with RSL
in 2008.
Wait, did I just say RL or RSL?
Oh, when did they win? I don't remember. I think it was...
It was Jason Christ's year. It might have been 2010.
2009, not 2008.
I was off by a year.
2008 was Columbus Crew, I remember. Okay, but yes, started with the Miami Fusion and ended his career at RSL. This is a... Kyle Beckerman is a... one of the... There were a couple years where, to some degree, he was like the face of... maybe the U.S. men's national team, not necessarily MLS, but
that's a bit of a stretch.
Yeah, maybe not the face, but like a very notable look. I mean, white dude with dreads, you're gonna be remembered. Okay,
you stand out.
Okay, but I always known as just a workhorse. He played in World Cups. An American soccer legend. I feel like the last like 2-3 years, he's been the... you know, like that, just that dude at RSL was like that
legend. Him and Wando, right?
Yeah.
Or just like,
yeah,
kind of hanging like, around.
Yes, he's like... Kyle Beckerman is not a highlight guy. He's not, you know, especially being older, he's not somebody who's going to get the spotlight. He's just like, he does his job and he does it well. And even
which
the
is
last,
boring. Right.
The last couple of years, he's been a little bit boring. But
you got to make a couple mistakes, jazz it up.
But
you
he's
know?
Always been pretty aggressive, right? Always like getting. He's a chippy guy. Like always.
He's got an edge to him.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
So
he seems like a happy little pothead, right? But I think that's just because of the dreads. You think of a white guy with dreads, you think Birkenstocks, acoustic guitar.
Yeah.
Definitely has a fedora. He might not wear it, but he's got one. And tons of weed. Grows his own weed. That's what you think.
You think.
But I don't think he's like that.
No, this guy, he has dreads, but he will two-foot you at any sign of...
Yeah, why you got so much of an edge, bro? I thought y'all were happy, man.
No,
you butt heads.
A big deal. I think, it'll be some time before people kind of... look back and remember Kyle Beckerman and what he contributed to Major League Soccer and helped pretty much build the league to what it is now, especially when he was, playing for the U.S. men's national team at a high level. He was a guy that was very much sought after and played well very well respected by other players. So we're going to miss Kyle Beckerman. You know what I'm not going to miss? The constant... just men in blazers use the Kyle Beckerman references. That's what I hope is gone with this retirement.
And hey, we ain't brought up their name in a minute. You
but,
know what I mean?
But it
so
really
for everyone
is,
listening who's rolling their eyes.
It is pretty ridiculous.
But this is when we started and we first mentioned, and we don't hate MIB, right? Just some of the issues we have, some of the condescending tone. The reference we use is this.
Yeah.
Which is like they're calling him the best midfielder in the history of the world. I've said this, even his mom, I don't believe that. Which, by the way, I'm on Kyle Beckerman's Wikipedia right now. And under early and personal life, I'm not going to read the whole thing, Beckerman was born in Crofton, Maryland. His parents are Margaret Meg, in quotes, Beckerman, a third grade teacher, and Paul Beckerman, a science teacher. Let me ask you a question. Did we need to know her nickname was Meg, in quotes? Is that necessary?
Look, if somebody... Look, anybody can fill these out. It might have been her that filled this out, this Wikipedia
She wanted
entry.
To make sure. She's like, look, right? Government is Margaret, but don't come in here with that energy.
Because I'll know you a cop if you start talking to me like that.
I know you've been looking at official paperwork, my G. I'm a Meg.
Okay. I didn't know the feds were coming over to Christmas dinner.
All right. What's up, 12?
Okay. Damn, yo.
I'm gonna need to wand you down with this metal detector.
Yo, Meg, why are you pulling out the blue bandana outside from your back pocket, bro?
You spinning. You're gonna be dizzy, Meg. You do not have a blicky, Meg. You don't even know what that is.
Oh, man. So, yes, best of luck to Kyle Beckerman and whatever the future. He's one of these guys that, maybe he'll get into coaching. It'd be great to have a coach with dreads right there on the sideline.
He cut his hair, though.
I
he doesn't
know,
have the dreads
like,
anymore.
Back, bro.
Yeah, I mean, you understand the game already.
Okay. All right. What should, the last MLS focus thing I want to talk about real quick was Joe Corona. obviously from LA Galaxy. He did not get his contract picked up by the LA Galaxy.
Homie been spending time on some internet casino because he gambling.
So Joe Corona, midfielder, right? Midfielder for LA Galaxy. Obviously played for the U.S. Men's National Team as well. He didn't get his contract picked up. He was going to be entered into the MLS re-entry draft. So that is for players to be able to basically get redrafted it by a team if nobody's picking up your contract. So this is for veteran players.
And because of that, he wasn't protected for the expansion draft.
Correct. So he was
because why protect someone who might not be on your team anyway?
Well, look, I don't, LA Galaxy, why protect any player at all? Yeah. There's no point.
If anything, send the security guards home. Let them fight for themselves.
Okay. So he was in the re-entry draft. He was picked by Austin FC in the expansion draft.
Okay. Celebrate. You are ready there, right?
Yes. And so this is kind of a fascinating thing because he got picked in the expansion draft. He did not opt out of the re-entry draft. So then he was therefore picked by Houston Dynamo in the re-entry draft. So Austin FC essentially wasted their expansion draft pick.
Not really, because now it's Houston's opportunity to be like a dick and call and be like, yo, you really want a Corona, huh? You want that coronavirus, my dude? Yo, it's okay. Going to take a lot of AM.
I hope he doesn't bring it. I feel like the LA Galaxy had it, too. They don't want to pass it along.
If you look at their standings, they're still on a ventilator. but if you look at this is a big opportunity, but Austin might not have the AM because of the ring deal.
Yeah, who knows? I don't know how they're going to be able to, or if they even want to go through with these negotiations.
You know who did this to Houston way back in the day? I think it was Brian Ching was the dude's name. I think Who's like a Houston legend, right? They left him unprotected because they're like, whatever, dude, you're kind of old. You're a legend here. No one would dare. And Montreal was like, excusez-moi. Montreal grabs him.
I am Canadian. I do not know of these American customs.
I do not follow the rules that you have set before me. Oh, I'm not allowed to smoke a cigarette in here? That is quite hilarious, as you say. Montreal grabs him. And hey, Brian Cheng starts texting motherfuckers like, I ain't trying to play in no snow. You know? Right? It's word for word, by the way. And then they had to trade like some type of value with Montreal. Yeah. So Montreal did nothing and still got value out of it. I think that's what Houston's doing.
Yeah. So it seems like Austin couldn't agree on a contract with Joe Corona, because Joe Corona could have opted out of the re-entry draft after he was selected in the expansion draft, and he did not. So
because he was like, yo, if you don't give me money, I'm going to, you know what I mean? I'm not going to opt out.
Yeah, so it's interesting because he gambled in that negotiation process with Austin, saying like, hey, I'm still in the re-entry draft. I could probably get picked up by somebody. You sure you don't want to give me the money I'm getting? Because I could probably get it somewhere else. And they were like, nah.
You seem to think it's that they wouldn't match his contract. I think he was asking for more. He's 30 years old. This is his last chance to kind of get, you know, additional value. So if they're going to restructure the contract, he's like, yeah, I'll restructure for more money. You
know what I mean? I don't know. I can only speculate, obviously. I just think it's interesting that when he was picked in the expansion draft, that he was still eligible to be in the re-entry draft. So because this must have been something in the CBA or something, because MLS players, for the most part, like, well, remember when we spoke to Kai Kamara, and I had the assumption like, oh, you're a veteran. I'm sure you've played for a lot of teams. I'm sure you've kind of decided where you wanted to go. He's like, no, I don't know where I'm going tomorrow.
He's like, wait, am I supposed to be allowed to? Because I haven't.
This is a weird kind of like opportunity that MLS players do have, that veteran players have, to actually kind of decide where they want to go, or at least decide where they don't want to go. The fact that
it's circumstantial, because he didn't pick Houston. He just said, I'll take my chances on the open market.
Yeah, which is
then listening to your BS, proposal.
So I'm glad the best thing is going to benefit the player the most, right? He's going to be able to get the most amount of money because at least he'll have possibly two teams that are bidding for him. Even though if Austin really wants him, they got to pay Houston. It's going to cost them probably more than if they just had agreed on the contract with him in the first place. So,
although he might not see that, it's not like he gets to keep some of the TAM.
He doesn't, but it still costs Austin more, possibly, if they had just going through this route, because now there's a third party involved.
This doesn't happen in the Premier League. Yeah, you know what I mean?
This is a very, look, but the conversation we're having right now, yeah, this is not going on in the Turkish Superliga, right?
They're not following any of the rules, even if they have rules in the Turkish Superliga.
We bring it up because this is such a, idiosyncratic, very silly, very, like, specific MLS thing that seems so.
This is the most MLS thing we could talk about.
Yeah, so this is for the nerds out there. Okay.
For the, what do they call those guys? The sabermetrics.
Yeah, you know what I mean? This is basically our show is like if you Dungeons and Dragons but MLS. You know what I mean?
Right.
We're the Dungeon Masters.
I don't know if that's good or
we
not.
The Dungeon Master determines the rules of the game.
That's the dude with the paper in front of him, right? In the V.
Yeah, bro.
I saw that on an episode of IT Crowd.
Okay, so let's talk about CCL.
Wait, no, before that, we want to just give a shout out to DC United.
Okay.
They appointed Danita Johnson as the head of business operations, making her the first black president in MLS.
Correct.
Shout out to Danita Johnson.
Is it black president of business operations or female or male or female? I'm not sure. In general, from the article, I think it's just saying first black president of an MLS club, which is huge. And then she is she came from the Los Angeles Sparks. So this is it's very much a milestone. It's a very big deal, especially in MLS, in sports in general, because you don't often see people of color, let alone women of color, in these roles. So shouts to DC United. I know they still haven't decided, I think, on their – they haven't announced a head coach yet, right? And the rumors are
– It's Chris Armas is a rumor, but that's not official.
Yeah. So, look, I think maybe this is the good news before we prepare for the bad news.
You know right? I mean? Let's hope they don't make Danita make the announcement. You know what I mean? That's a rough first day right
Danita,
there.
Get out there. We got
come on.
So huge from DC United. So shouts to them.
Now let's talk CCL.
Let's talk CCL.
Because CCL is doing a full-on, they went 100% CONCACAF. It's amazing. Okay. There was one boring match. Since the round of 16.
Which one would you describe as boring?
The Olympia match where they just won.
The Olympia against Montreal.
Yeah.
I think the highlight there, I mean, they got demolished by Tigres after that. But the one highlight from that from Olympia was I forgot the guy's name. Who's the center back that wears a mask throughout the whole game?
That's the center forward, Bengston.
Oh, he's a forward.
Okay. Bengston, he played for the Revolution.
Did he?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, Diddy was the guy you worked for.
Oh, yeah. No. He's a center midfielder. I think I've seen him. Okay. He's been shimmying out of tackles for a long time. All right. So just a bit of a recap. All right. Olympia, they lost in the second leg, but they won in aggregate. Against Montreal. Montreal was doing their best, but Montreal did not look great. I mean, I feel so bad for the Montreal Impact, who may not even be the Montreal Impact in a couple of weeks.
Nah, dude. They could be Montreal lacking an impact, but...
Okay, bars again, all right?
I mean, I hope y'all ready. I hope you're listening to this out of a boombox.
So I feel so bad for the Montreal Impact because...
I don't. They got Thierry Henry. Well, they got Mihailovic, which is a great deal.
You just feel Thierry Henry's frustration through the television. You know, he just seems so unhappy with his players. They're just lacking in fundamentals. It's so frustrating to watch because I want them to do well. And it's like they, whether
we
it's
both
low touches, key
kind of want them to do well. Like we have, you and I, for some reason, and it's not just Thierry Henry, we have some affinity for Montreal Impact.
We've been to Montreal. We've had a great time. Everybody,
it's my favorite city outside of New York.
Yeah.
It's just
Impact,
it's my favorite place to go.
Impact fans have always been really, really cool. Even though, like, it's weird. Like when we look at like our podcast, like numbers and stuff, like we don't have a, we don't really have Canadian fans like that. You know what I mean? Like,
well, that's also because that doesn't come through those numbers, right? Remember that one time someone's like, by the way, we've left you a bunch of reviews. You got to go to the Canadian iTunes. And we're like, we ain't going to Canadian iTunes.
But we still see the cut by country.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, and look, the IP addresses out in Canada, not really into what we're doing, all right?
Nah, they ain't, but we ain't popping in Montreal. But the fans that we do have there.
Yes, yes. That's what I'm saying, that the Impact fans have always been really, really cool.
We got to do an episode in French. Also, we got to learn French.
Okay. Well, I mean, this just literally, watch us learn French, you know?
Yeah, dude.
Thierry Henry, teach us French.
Oh, my God. Now that's a web series.
So, yes, and we just want them to do well, and it's frustrating that they're not better, and because I don't think it's like a coaching issue. And speaking of Impact, I mean they signed Georgi Mihailovic. They're making big moves. They're using any GAM available to them to just improve their midfield. They just need some consistency, and they need some they don't need superstars. They just need, you know, somebody that can get Victor Wanyama the ball, and he could barrel through a couple dudes.
You know, he could put his head down and juggernaut.
You've seen
his
it.
Way to the goal.
He was pushing out Olympia players, just mushing here, mushing there.
It was fun to watch.
It's amazing. But even him, he was like, he's not the best passer in the world.
You got Romel Quiroga. I don't think Uriti is coming back, right?
Uriti, I don't know. Yeah,
Uriti.
I
don't think he's coming back, so... It looks to me like it's Romel Quiroga up top, right? And then whatchamacallit? You need someone to be able to pass him the ball. It's another situation like Ronnie. It was a first year. They got in the playoffs. They did way better than anyone expected them to do with that lineup. As much as I love this dude, Samuel Piet, at this point, gotta be. You're way out of your depth, my G. You know what I mean?
I don't know.
Get a job with the club.
To me, he's one of the more reliable dudes. Like the guy.
Reliable, yes, but he's not. And that's the thing. Like he's a very consistent player, but he's not. He doesn't do what Thierry Henry wants. And look, Thierry Henry would be rough on Barcelona right now because he's Thierry Henry. So in his head, he's like, "What you trap the ball perfectly? You juggle past six people. You very fast. You square on the curler."
The game is so simple in his head because he sees himself doing it.
Yeah, what are you talking about, right? You curl into the top. It's very simple, and everyone's like, "My foot don't even bend that way, man." But like, so yeah, he would be rough on everyone. But you got to give the guy a chance to bring in people that can play his style. The problem is, I have no clue what style he wants to play because it just seems like he's like, look, we're not going to train because then if we train, I can't yell at you for 90 minutes. You know what I mean? And I want to be able to yell.
We can't judge him too harshly. It's been a ridiculous year.
He made the playoffs.
He barely made the playoffs.
Yeah. He made it.
they're not a good team. Let's just be
There's
honest.
There's 36 teams in MLS. And he's one of the ones that made it.
I'm looking at the lineup that they fielded. Yeah, Quiroga, Okonkwo, Mason Toy. Mason Toy did not have a great game. He should be doing
better. He just got there.
Still, but no, there's a lot of room for improvement. All right, next, let's talk. We have to talk.
I believe in Mason Toy.
Tigres against NYCFC. That game was happened last week. But let's just a quick recap. Tigres 4-0. This is NYCFC looked absolutely awful. They were missing a lot of players. So obviously, that was part of it. But to play this badly was kind of embarrassing. I think they didn't expect much. They were already down 1-0 on aggregate from the first leg, which is the last soccer game I attended.
you remember?
I remember. And then the world shut down the next day. But no, this was a really bad loss. Regardless of who the opponent was, there was just a poor showing for NYCFC.
Regardless, speaking of Thierry Henry, friggin' Gignac does the Thierry Henry.
Yeah.
Lounging on the pole,
bro,
which is wild disrespectful. How do you not? And no, look, I like Gignac and I like Tigres, right? How do you not break that guy's leg? How do you not? Right? Like, yo, I mean, I think the players are too new to MLS. Like, they didn't even know.
Maybe, yeah, maybe. Because it was, if you saw the day prior, Gignac posted a photo with Thierry Henry. And
two French people just having a chit-chat, complaining about, you know, the food.
But then after the game, there was he did an interview, and he had mentioned that the reason he did that celebration was as an homage to Thierry Henry. He said he wanted to do it if they in front of Henry, if Montreal had made it to the next round, because Tigres would have played against Montreal.
How nice of Gignac to be like, I wanted to disrespect him in front of his team.
But that's the thing. He was like, yo, I wanted to spit in his face.
It didn't work out. So whatever. I spit on the other team for him. But he even said New York is red.
He really leaned into it, bro. I'm like, what you know about the Hudson River Derby, my man?
he got beef. He was like, yo, Pirlo ain't score. He knew too much. You knew too much, man.
So, but you love the banter. He brought it, and and there was a Tigres. They have not won the Champions League. There's that video going around. I think he said it was last year after they won the La Clausura Apertura. I forgot which one, but he said that he doesn't want to end his career until he wins esa pinche copa. All right.
He said that?
He said that.
Damn, yo, he's been in Mexico for a minute.
I love that this dude, this French man, is just like a straight up, like, not a cholo type dude, but like he really embraces the culture. And people, I think that's why people really, really love him there, because he's not like, oh, I'm French or I'm better or I'm different or anything. He's like, I'm
a European player. Yeah. He doesn't have that energy at all.
Yeah. You know, and to be honest, there's a lot of European players that couldn't make it in Liga MX. It takes a lot of heart, a lot of being able to tolerate a lot of nonsense.
Somebody said this. People were talking about how physical the game was against LAFC, not the Tigres, the Club America match. And some people were saying like, oh, saying that is racist. It depends on the tone, I think, right? But I think you and I have even commented on the show before. Maybe it's just the CONCACAF Champions League, but this shit gets physical. Like you should be allowed to wear shin guards all over your body. You know what I mean? You should come out in chainmail, my chain.
Just like a Kevlar vest or a Kevlar suit, you know, so that like when they the attack dogs, so when they train
Or like the bomb, the guy who dismantles bomb. He's got like the big like window on the front, the helmet.
Are you gonna go disarm a bomb? It's like no. I gotta play against Cruz Azul tomorrow.
Yeah, we're going to San Salvador, my G. It's a tough match. Like, I think some of the commentary was wild disrespectful, so I get it, right? But, like, we have to say, these matches get wildly more physical than MLS matches do, and MLS is considered a physical league. I also love the little bit of, like, it's not shit talking, but, like, that little thing, like, what was it, Latif Bled? No, it was a, it might have been Opoku. I forget who was on the floor, but one of the players from Club America stepped over him and just like kneed him in the head a little bit. And as he walked away, the LAFC player pushed him and he like pretended, it might've been Palacios. It was Palacios.
Okay.
We pushed him and like he fell to the floor. So like he's egging you on, you know what I mean? Like he's hitting you with his knee. He's doing all these little things to make it look like he's not fucking with you just to get you to get a red card or a yellow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that whatever we want to call them, the dark arts, which, by the way, Adam Conover texted me and I mentioned, I'm like, dark arts, baby. And he's like, oh, you're watching the American commentating. And I'm like, no, that's a term for like all the Bush League shit that happens. Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? He was like, oh, I thought that was just the announcers of this match. Because again, he's getting into it. He's like, I thought they just like loved this phrase. But it's like those little things. It's a lot for people. And yo, it seems like during CONCACAF Champions League, all the clubs just dial it up. And maybe it's the thing that, like, MLS doesn't do it as much, so they know this will fuck with them.
Well, I thought, you know, when the CONCACAF Champions League got postponed, I thought this tournament was going to be like, oh, you know, the players are going to be like, oh, we got to go to Orlando and play. Like, who cares if we win or lose?
Yeah, we're down.
Who cares? But it's been the complete opposite. I'm like, these teams want to win more than they're like – their respective leagues, they're so intense.
We should have done this instead of the Apertura.
LAFC played against Cruz Azul. They did not have a this was they only played one leg. They didn't have the first leg because that game got canceled before right when the lockdown started. But they went 2-1, and really the goal from Opoku. Quadwo Opoku, not Quadwo Opoku, which is a
buddy,
different guy.
Buddy, when I heard Quadwo Opoku, I was like, did I hear that correct?
Is he back?
Did he bring him in just for this? And then this dude is a lot smaller than the Poku that used to be on NYCFC.
Yeah.
So I'm like, apparently when you add an O on the to the beginning of your last name, you shrink down.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
And he scored an absolute banger.
And he's a kid, right? He's like 18, 19 years old.
Yeah. I don't know where... he's from Ghana. I don't know where, where they got him, where he came from, what club.
I think he's from that academy, the Right to Dream or something like that. I forget what it's called. Where they bring people in from Ghana.
But a good pickup. Yeah, he's been playing super, super well, and that goal was unreal.
He looks great.
And then this began the. You know, there was kind of a very, very soft penalty that Carlos Vela drew. That now started like. We need VAR. Why isn't VAR in this tournament? What? Look at this very, you know, kind of very, very soft call. So you can understand why Cruz Azul fans were upset. But after that goal from Opoku, I'm like, yo, they earned that victory.
Apparently, if you're a fan of Cruz Azul, you got questions.
Yeah,
man,
because it hasn't been a good couple weeks for Cruz Azul.
They can't hold on to shit. Don't toss anything valuable at a player for Cruz Azul. They're going to let it slip through their fingers.
So they, you know, fans probably, again, not happy. But, you know, maybe they didn't expect too much. It's interesting now we're starting to see the Liga MX clubs being a little bit of these underdogs in some tournament. LAFC is starting to feel, you know, they beat León. Cruz Azul and Club America to get to the final. This is like no one expected. Once you saw the draw, everybody's like, "Oh, they're gonna have to go through three Liga MX teams to get to the final. No way this is gonna happen." And they did exactly that.
It's insane. Also, I mean, just think about like when they're at the end of the match, they were like, "Here's what Bob Bradley said to the team at the half after going down a player. If you're LAFC," and everyone's like, "I would love to hear what he said because it must have been like." None of you are getting paid if Vela don't score. Because how else do you do that?
Yeah, basically, it's just, you know, I'm going to make sure Will Ferrell doesn't spend another dime on you guys. We have to talk about the game against Club America, LAFC against Club America. This game was wildly, wildly controversial for a billion reasons. Where do we even begin?
Let's start with... Bob Bradley will fight you. That's all I want to say is Bob Bradley will absolutely fight you. And whoever the other dude is, I think his name was like Ante, the dude who punched Miguel Herrera. Did you see that?
Ante Razov, yes.
Ante Razov. That dude, I mean, that's the guy I want as my assistant. You know what I mean? That's who I want as my assistant coach. Because this dude is like, don't worry about it. You're going to get in trouble. I'm going to go hit him with my car. And you're like, no. You know, we don't need that. You know?
I mean, this game was wild, right? Obviously, should we start with the red card? I mean, that's where a lot of the controversy began. Eduard Atuesta is, I feel, kneed in the hip on while he was trying to take a shot. And... should have been a penalty. There was no VAR in CCL. And I forgot who, you know, quote unquote committed the foul. But Atuesta's on the floor, writhing in pain, probably doing what CONCACAF players do, right?
He's pulling a conca, you know what I mean?
We all know. No, nobody's faulting him for that. He did nothing wrong.
Okay? Hey, baby, you fighting fire with fire, my G.
But then Memo Ochoa, goalkeeper for Club America, goes up to him and he starts yelling at him like, yo, get up. What are you doing? But does, and it's obviously very, very intentional. He does a couple things that, and I want to give him credit for when it comes to dark arts, as we are mentioning. Not only does he go up to him and kind of instigate and yell at him like, hey, get up, stop crying, whatever. Then he does a thing that's interesting. Not only does he get in Atuesta's face, he blocks the view of the assistant referee. If you see, he starts standing at an angle where the assistant referee is at his back. So the AR would not be able to really see what happened. And then Memo Ochoa has that long curly hair, this kind of blocking. It's obstructing the view of his head and how close it is to Atuesta's face.
Right.
And then when he gets super, super close, yells in Edward's face, Atuesta obviously like is a frustrated. He's like, yo, get off me, fam. Like, chill.
Yeah.
And as soon as that happens, I can't really tell if any contact is even made.
They have the super slow-mo, and you could tell that, and I think it's dangerous contact that's made. That's why everyone's mad at Ochoa, but the three hairs on Atuesta's head that barely grazed his chin could have killed him.
Could have, yeah, just exactly.
You know? Sliced them open.
If he has gel on them, forget. Those are weapons, okay? You know, they don't let you bring
even
that.
Moose. Even moose. People don't realize how dangerous.
You can't even bring that on a plane, bro.
No, imagine if you had more than 3 ounces of that in a container. I mean, straight to Guantanamo.
You know, there is a lot going on, right? Because people get upset at this, like, yo, what? He's faking some injury. Nothing. He didn't touch the guy. Atuesta is he didn't. In my opinion, he didn't touch him. That's
no.
my opinion.
If you would have said you and Ochoa get a red for, you know, simulation, I'm fine with that. Because I
yellow,
do think
a yellow for simulation.
No, red.
Red. You don't because get a red for simulation, but.
But what I'm saying is they're both pretending to be injured, right?
Okay, yeah.
So I'm fine with that. But Atuesta getting, he got a second yellow or a red
no,
for
red.
That?
No, straight red.
He got a straight red. If Atuesta getting a red for that is clearly, to me, is buying into the bullshit and it adds more bullshit. Now, if you're the assistant referee, if you're the main referee and you can't see that and you're simply going off of whatever, then that should be a note to everyone else. And this is just the type of person I am. When someone has an advantage, I think, you know what? Now I also have that advantage because I know how you have that advantage. And if I'm Bob Bradley, I am practicing this type of shit over, and I'm putting curly wigs on everybody for the match. We're getting lace fronts. I need them joints to stay in. I ain't.
Yo, it's like, where's your weave at? Like, you can't, don't be stepping on this field without your weave, bro.
Everybody bring two, one for each half. We gotta get them joints put in. Get a couple abuelitas in there, some Dominican old ladies to help you put them joints in real quick.
Dude, this was obviously frustrating. This and LAFC are down 1-0 at when this red card is issued towards the end. And then halftime happens just to come up a couple moments later. That leads to another scuffle. Miguel Herrera, the former Club America coach for these reasons, which they eventually happened. He gets into a fight. I mean, there's something that happened. Ante Rosa, from what I understood, I don't know, I haven't seen the video, but the first video you see is Miguel Herrera pulling Razov's
the
hair.
The back of Razov's hair.
Yeah.
But I don't know. To me, I can't imagine that that's a move, right? That's him trying to explain what happened to somebody, right?
Yeah. So it seemed, from what I heard, was that Razov did it first. He pulled his hair.
That's what I think he's doing. He's showing him this happened.
Yeah.
Because that's not a move. When you get ready to fight, you don't reach behind someone's head.
Passionately behind, you know? You put your palm, you're behind
someone's
head. No, he pulls at his hair. It's very weird and silly and childlike. It's like, you know, when you like a girl in second grade, you know what I mean? Like, it's
right.
So he...
Except both you and that girl have a neck.
They clearly arguing with each other, and then people are trying to separate them. But then, swings are made. Like, Razov is literally swinging at Herrera.
Razov is what, 5? No, not even, maybe like 6'4", 6'5"? I mean, he looks like...
I don't think he's that big, but he's probably like 6 feet or something.
He definitely got the reach. Piojo got them little CeeLo arms.
Definitely not 6 feet. We know that.
No, I mean, what direction are we measuring? And that's from one fat guy to another.
You don't get the nickname Piojo by being a big ass dude.
Other than like when there's like a real big fat guy and they call him tiny, that's the only way that happens. No. But whatchamacallit, if you're Herrera, you're trying to inspire your team. You know what I mean? You're trying to, like, you know, like baseball managers will go out and they'll kick dirt on the refs umpire. Or the umpire's feet, all that crap, lift up the first plate and throw it. Just trying to get your team all angry and you know, all gassed up.
Angry?
I was going to go angered, and then I'm hungry. I'm angry. But like when you see that, you're like, clearly he's trying to get his team. But also, like, rumors have been around that he was going to get fired, that, it, you know, the season hadn't been going well. And at that point, you're like, what do I have to lose?
Yeah. Yeah. So he gets red carded. He is sent off. Obviously, when you get a red card, hit the showers, coach.
And you everywhere except the first three rows. You go to the fourth row if you want.
Dude was mad close. He's like sitting in the rainbow seats out in Orlando Stadium. Yep. That's not where you belong. You cannot be there. And he needed to be told by CONCACAF officials that he needed to leave. And instead of leaving, he just goes up to like the box seats. And not only does he go to the box seats, he now has a walkie-talkie.
Mm-hmm. He's communicating with the coaching staff. This is some Diego Maradona in Mexico shit. Remember?
This is a joke, right? Now it's gone way too far. What influence or power does CONCACAF have? Why didn't they do anything? Why they see this on the broadcast? They're watching him with a walkie-talkie with a bloodshot eye. The dude, like, something's wrong, right? And it just looks even worse with the bloodshot eye. I mean,
yeah,
it looks like Die Hard, right? People made the comparison, but look at the scene in Die Hard. He should have had, you know, glass in his feet at that point. Because
this is gonna shock you, but I've never seen Die Hard.
I don't know why. Die Hard is an absolutely amazing movie.
I know. I've just never seen it. It's one of those that just like constantly somehow miss.
How? Anyway.
I don't know.
Okay. All right. I hope I didn't spoil it for you. There's a walkie-talkie.
Don't
in
yell
it.
At me.
So this is insane.
I'm less interested in why wasn't he in trouble. It just feels like that he wasn't going to get in trouble. It's CONCACAF. You know what I mean?
I mean, he got in trouble in that he got fired the next day.
But not by CONCACAF.
It's just the fact that it happened and that way is kind of insane.
We need to start doing this as MLS. We need to start breaking the rules. We need to start dark arts, and we need to Bob Bradley going up to the third seats and being like, I ain't going nowhere. No entiendo. Yo soy Bob Bradley. You know what I mean?
I didn't expect this from Brian Schmetzer. Wow. Really, why are you taking off your shirt, dog?
You got a lot of energy, my G.
No, so look, and I wouldn't say that it took away from the game, because the game was also nuts too, right? The game kicks off, it's like 15 seconds in, Carlos Vela scores, down a man.
15 seconds later, he scores again.
He scores again. It's just unbelievable. It was a mirror image of both goals.
Yeah. I thought the second one was the replay of the first one. I'm not making that up.
Yeah, dude. It was insane. The fact that the first one was a terrible giveaway, which is like, again, it's just like these quote unquote Liga MX clubs are supposed to be better and whatever. Everybody makes mistakes in their leagues and whatever.
I'm an Arsenal fan.
Oh, yeah.
That's two mistakes. The mistakes Arsenal makes and me being a fan of theirs.
What a terrible pass. And it's Carlitos Vela there. Come on. I mean,
if you're going to make that mistake in front of anyone in our team, the one you don't want to do it is Carlos Vela. The one thing I will say, and we've talked about the disparity of talent, right? There's clearly a lot of, on average, each player is probably more talented across your entire squad.
Yeah, from top
in
to
a Liga
bottom.
MX club. Yeah. Right, and maybe we could argue about whether Carlos Vela would be a top player on any of those teams. I think he will, but it's up to an argument. I get, and I want to have that argument, but it's just not for today. That said, when the problem is, all you have to do is stop one or two players on LAFC, and you're, for the most part, have dropped the quality of the player that can beat you, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The problem is, imagine, like, this. Remember when Jordan and Pippen were on the Bulls, and they were like, yo, we got to stop Jordan, and then Pippen would beat you? I'm like, all right, we got to stop Jordan, we got to stop Pippen. Imagine you said, you know what, guys, let's just try to stop Pippen, see what happens.
Right? Look, that's what happened in the second half. We'll be fine. Trust me, okay? I've been doing this for years.
This might be a lot of hype on this Jordan guy, you know?
Yeah, the billboard outside this building, ignore it.
I know we're all wearing a sneaker, but let's just talk about real quick. I don't think he's as good as everyone says he is. So let's stop Pippen.
The stock is rising on this Scotty guy, all right?
We're going to stop Steve Kerr, and we're going to stop Scottie Pippen. I dare Michael Jordan to try. That seems like what happened in the second half.
Yeah.
Like, they were like, yo, what if we passed it right to Vela? Let's just see what happens.
Well, it seemed like very much that Club America was like, oh, they're down a player. Let's send everybody forward. Let's put this game to bed. We got this. And boom. I mean, they didn't have time to even, like, rationalize that philosophy. They were just like, they got hit on not even the counter, but that was just a great ball. I mean, you don't expect a center back to make such a precise pass, but as soon as the ball landed at Vela's feet, I'm like, yo, this is going in. And I thought Memo Cho was going to go in the same direction from the first goal. I thought he was going to go to his left because that's where he shot it the first time.
Right.
And he was like, no, he's probably going to go. He's like, no, he went to the exact same spot. And it was.
Yeah. Oh, no, he knew it worked.
That's why it looked exactly like the same exact goal. But no, just incredible. And then the later goal by Latif Plessing, but even with 10 men, Club America wasn't going to score. They did really.
The second half, I don't know what changes they made in the halftime, but even with 10, it seemed like LAFC was a better club throughout the second half, not just overall in the second half, throughout it.
Yeah. And
then I don't know what it is, but maybe it's that thing of like, all right, we're down a guy, so everyone has to play up a little bit. You know what I mean? Maybe there's like, there's no chance. Don't be nervous. There's no pressure now. Let's just do what we can.
They got rid of, what is it, Musovsky? I forgot his name. Once they got rid of him and brought in Musovsky and brought in Latif Blessing, bro, what?
It was over.
What?
Also, I mean, the legs on this guy. It's like he drinks 7 Red Bulls before he comes in. The amount of energy he brings. Imagine having to defend against that.
Yeah, offensively and defensively, he was a big reason why they ended up winning, because obviously they had the lead, but you don't hold the lead without a player having the type of game that he did.
And am I wrong? Do I remember this incorrectly? When Latif Blessing came from Kansas City, Sporting Kansas City. Yeah. Do I remember them, like, the sentiment was that he didn't track back? I might be wrong about that.
I don't think so, because they picked him up in the expansion draft. I think Bob Riley just wanted him. I've never really heard anything negative as far as
I don't remember people really talking about his defensive prowess, but during that match, I'm like, oh, this dude is not box-to-box. He's goal-to-goal. You know what I mean?
He played great. I mean, he's also a pretty small dude. You kind of don't expect that much defensively out of him, but he was great. And so... So we're going to obviously talk about the actual final, because you're listening to this probably on Wednesday, the 23rd. So just come right back, literally right after this, because we will, we're going to take a very, very short break, and then we will talk about, the final, Tigres.
Before we go
LAFC.
Though, what quick prediction?
You know what? I'm going to say this is 2-2 and LAFC in penalties.
All right, I'm going to say LAFC 3-2.
Okay, we'll see how I mean, part of it is just is very much me hoping.
Right.
But I think LAFC, out of any team against Tigres, I think LAFC is the only one in this tournament that has any real shot, even compared to the other Liga MX team. So we'll see. All right, so we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back, and we'll give our recap on the final of the CONCACAF Champions League final.
Everybody, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We just want to break up with a word from one of our sponsors, us and you.
That's right, Gully Squad. The last, during quarantine, how has Gully Squad has not only become a dope soccer community, but it's becoming a vital space for my emotional well-being.
Okay? Yes, if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have anyone to talk to a lot of the time. And also, I would not know what an apple crisp is.
Okay, yeah, we are. There's so much communication and sharing of food. It's I don't really dwell in that channel too much.
No, you're not allowed to. Your girl can see it on your face that you're looking at food.
She goes through my phone not to look for like texts from other girls. She's like
booty pick sandwich.
Sam, what is this? How dare you betray me like this?
She's messaging me, homewrecker.
Gully Squad is obviously the Cooligans community. Of people that are fans of soccer, fans of comedy, fans of food, fans of pizza. It's an opportunity to help support the content that we put out, help us put out more content that we can deliver to the masses, and also get some exclusive content for yourself. So there's a bunch of really cool things going on in there. We have an amazing Slack channel that may or may not exist. Who knows?
Hey, even though we just talked about it.
Exactly, but you know, it's vague. It's very vague. So you can join at any level. You can join, you can give like $5, $10, you can give more. If you give more, there's more perks involved, like merch and a pin and stickers and different things like that. So it's, if you're a fan of soccer, if you're a fan of comedy, we highly recommend you joining, and it definitely helps the show grow, so we can do a bunch of other fun things. You know, in 2021, when we can finally travel, we can be able to go do live shows and do live events and do a lot of other things like that. So
plus you get some really exclusive stuff, like when we release the pins, you get a pin for joining.
That's right.
When we release the pop socket, you got a pop socket for joining, stuff like that. So there's a lot of really good exclusive stuff. It's not just being a part of the Slack channel that may or may not exist, but trust me, that's a dope part of it.
Very much so. So go to soccercooligans.com and click on the Join Gully Squad button now.
All right, well, we tried. We as in MLS.
We as
also
in...
we as in trying to squad stream with Jimmy.
Yeah, we were trying to do a watch along with Jimmy and be on both Twitch streams at the same time. It did not work. There were technical issues or just straight up hater issues, right? I think Twitch would not allow us to be invited as to be able to co-stream with Jimmy, but that is we'll sort that out on another day. We have to talk about...
What do you mean by sort that out? You mean like we're going to get our fans to send angry letters to their Congress people and Twitch?
Yes.
You know, this wouldn't happen on a Twitch. That's the problem. Jimmy is not a partner on Twitch. He's not a socio.
He will never be if he keeps up with this sort of behavior. Let's talk about it. Just like the U.S. against Trinidad, and we tried to send some positive energy their way. It did not work out again. LAFC loses to Tigres 2-1. A good game that I think LAFC has to be kind of smacking themselves, being like, yo, we gave this one up. I know
they had control. They were fine until the second half.
Yeah.
Or the second half of the second half.
Yeah, they were winning 1-0. They were up for several minutes, and just poor marking on a set piece. And then, look, a good goal from Gignac. It's difficult to stop him for 90 minutes, and they very much did not. So this one feels... I'm trying to think of when Toronto played against who was it that they lost to in the final? Monterrey?
Who, Toronto?
Toronto. Remember Toronto FC when they were in the CCL final?
Yeah. I believe it was Monterrey. Or was it Club America?
I don't remember who it was.
It might have been Club America.
Okay. I don't think they ever had a lead. This was, to my recent memory, an MLS team leading so close.
I think Minnesota went up against Pachuca.
No, I'm talking about in a final.
Not Minnesota, really. Montreal. I think Montreal went up against Pachuca.
This was, I mean, look, they played well, and it was so close. They just finished a couple more chances. And
watching the game, I don't think I would say if that was the first time I'd ever seen those two teams play, and I didn't know anything about MLS or Liga MX, I wouldn't walk away saying Tigres is an overwhelmingly better team.
Sorry, and it was Chivas, by the way.
Toronto. It was Chivas. Yes, it was Chivas. I wouldn't walk away saying LAFC couldn't hang. I wouldn't say it looks like they're in two different leagues. I wouldn't say like these levels aren't comparable. I say these two teams are very comparable. And I think that is, as embarrassing as it is to say, that's kind of a good thing walking away from this. That's like a step forward, right? Yeah,
there's definitely a, it wasn't an MLS team up against these Mexican giants. I think we can kind of let go of that, storyline when it comes to CCL. For the most part, I think every team in the tournament had competitive games outside of, the second leg of NYCFC against Tigres. All the games were pretty much competitive. But the LAFC really, I'm not going to say they were just definitively the better team. They were better for longer stretches of the game, in my opinion.
There were periods of that game where even the announcers were questioning whether Tigres had prepared correctly, cared about winning, had really come prepared to play. There were moments of that match where it looked like it was all AFC or nothing. But like a lot of times, especially when you said it best, like it's hard to stop someone like a Gignac for 90 minutes. When you have a team that's filled with that much depth and quality, the issues really start to arise after the 70th minute. And that's what you saw again.
Yeah.
Bob Bradley, even after that one goal was scored, didn't react. And I know it's because the camera was paused, but he knew,
He's like, this joy will not last long. Yeah.
Let's not celebrate just yet, everybody.
Unfortunate, man. I wish, the result would have been different. I think this would have kind of helped just change the narrative a little bit for Major League Soccer. And we say this every year.
We're not LAFC fans. That's what we were rooting for, was for people to stop talking shit on MLS. That's all we want. Put some respect on our name.
Or at least give us the ability to talk shit back and back it up. But look, LAFC being able to get through all the teams that they did, I don't think many people expected them to get as far as they did, to come back against Club America and win the way they did in a shithousery game and all this stuff. So much to be proud of. I mean, LAFC fans have a lot to look forward to. And even though this season was like a little bit weird and the results were kind of odd, they weren't really the dominant team that they were in their first 2 years. They figured it out and they really stepped up in this tournament. So it was good to see at least one MLS team be consistent throughout the whole thing.
And you know what? This is the first time I would say that, something like CONCACAF Champions League leaves you being like, I still think we did well. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is the first time where I'm not like, damn, we got bodied,
No, man. So I think I don't even know what when the next Champions League matches are going to be happening, right? I mean, they're going to start up pretty soon, probably like in February.
Yeah, they're usually in the beginning of preseason. So
yeah. So there's not too much of a break when it comes to this this tournament. I think we'll have the next champion probably in like April.
Yeah. Dude, shit moves fast.
so there's going to be a lot going on. But so who's in the 2021 Champions League? Obviously, Philadelphia Union, Columbus Crew,
Atlanta United got sort of backdoored in because there was no U.S. Open Cup.
Yeah. Who's the fourth? A Canadian champion, right? It would have to be...
Probably Toronto.
Did Toronto win the champion? I think they did. So
yeah.
I believe it's those four. If we missed or if it's incorrect, I'm sure
we just always assume it's Toronto winning. Let us know if it was HFX Wanderers.
Okay, the Ottawa Fury, the now defunct Ottawa Fury. Look, again, props to LAFC for getting as far as they did and playing and being they were very close. They were the champions almost for till the 70th minute. So a lot to be proud of. So, okay. Another one in the books.
We were wrong, but this time waiting to after a match to do a segment did not leave us super sad and wondering if we'll continue.
Correct. It's you know, is LAFC going to make it to the World Cup? Man, who knows?
We'll never know.
So everybody, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode. We really appreciate it. We hope you enjoy your holiday. Hope you enjoy Christmas, or if you celebrate Christmas or you do not. Whatever. Enjoy the days off if you are working. I know a lot of people are not as well. We just honestly hope you are safe. Hope you don't go to some big family events and catch COVID.
Please, or spread it.
Or spread. It's very much still around.
And yeah, man, it ain't going nowhere, unfortunately.
Yeah. And there's still, you know, we know people that have it. And to the people listening who have it, keep powering through, stay strong, and yeah, we're, you know, there's obviously friends that we know that are struggling with it as well. So yes,
but there is light at the end of the tunnel. I'm hearing that the vaccine actually can help cure some of the long-term ills that are left from people who've had it in a very severe way. So
that's okay. Yeah. Breaking news. Look, you don't listen to Coolian, you don't expect to hear this, right? Is Dr. Alexis Fauci over here.
Hey, Gauchy.
So that obviously that's some good news. And yeah, we know there's a couple people we know that have gotten the vaccine. Your wife who works in the hospital,
she's not yet, but
vaccine.
She's about to. Yeah.
So there's people. It's happening. You know, one step at a time. But yeah, just don't catch the shit. That's it.
And wear a fucking mask, will you?
Yeah, just stay safe because it's crazy out there. All right, enjoy Christmas, everybody. Enjoy the holidays. We're gonna be off of Fubo TV during this holiday break, so we'll be back in January on Fubo TV. We're still doing podcasts, so keep subscribing to the podcast, keep listening to the podcast. There's always news and a lot of things to discuss.
You haven't, leave a review, dude. We haven't had a review in a minute.
Yeah. Feel free to leave one there on iTunes or at the Apple Podcast app. It really does help. Yes, and just to add, the Fubo TV will be airing reruns, but throughout the next 2 weeks, they'll be airing episodes with U.S. Women's National Team players. So each one, if you haven't seen or haven't checked out any of those episodes and want to watch it, just every Tuesday and Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time, FuboSportsNetwork.com, and you can watch probably one of your favorite players, us getting interviewed by one of us interviewing.
We don't get interviewed by any players. And that's like, a real shame.
Yeah. It's like, Mallory Pugh, what do you want to know about us?
Great question, Allie Krieger.
So check those out, because I know the Fubo staff worked really hard in putting those together, and we would appreciate it. All right, everybody, thank you again for tuning in to another episode. Again, enjoy your holidays. We love you. We miss you. We will see you in person at some point soon.
We promise. Promise. Because we're doing everything we can to stay safe and stay alive. So we could come see you. So you got to stay safe and stay alive. Because if not, that's going to be a real sad show, my G.
I am stabbing that vaccine in my eyeball. I need it.
I'm going to stab the vaccine if it don't work. You know what I mean?
Yo, you're going to tell the vaccine, yo, run that vaccine.
Yo, run them antibodies, my G.
Okay, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. With that said, my name is Christian Polanco.
And I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!